The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. True Green is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, among others. They'll do all of that so you can do literally anything else. You have better things to do with your free time than focus on your lawn care. Let True Green take care of all the hard work it takes to get a great lawn while you take care of everything else on your to-do list. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which gives you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. Think about how hard it is to manage our fantasy baseball teams. You need all the time you can get to put in waiver wire claims, fab bids, send out trades, and set your lineups. You'll have that extra time when True Green is taking care of your lawn. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, guaranteed. Soroka, you look so good in polka. Peralta, Manoa, bounce back for Aaron Nola. Giolito, Castillo, Yoshida, Mosu, Sinto, Carlo, and Fado. Value so high, but ADP so low. Frank loves him some kind of show. Now let's get on with the show. Happy Kokomo Friday, and welcome in to Fantasy Baseball Today on August 12th. Frank Sanfield joined by Scott White. Today on the show, we're going to help you get ready for Week 20. We've got two start pitchers, sleeper hitters, but a few other things. Did you know? Plus, some grade the season hitter edition. I have some random hitters we haven't talked about, and Scotty is going to grade their season so far. Speaking of which, Scott, it was a fun night. Field of Dreams, once again, very cool. The Harry Carey hologram was kind of weird, if we're being honest. But above all else, the
Didn't it sit right with me now?
No Statcast data for the game. What's going on, man? Like,
yeah,
I learned just how dependent I am on Statcast when I go to click on the game and there's nothing available. And I'm like, the world is crumbling. What's happening?
Field of Dreams. If you build it, they won't track it.
Apparently so.
I mean, the kind of, you know, that it's supposed to be this kind of like salt of the earth baseball vibe, right? That stadium, they got the faux wood grain dugouts and everything. Of course, then when you got a holographic image of a dead guy.
Frankly, I don't know how to react to it, but there's a lot of different things going on.
A little dystopian, right?
Yeah. The field definitely looks awesome, and I mean, I enjoy the game. They won't be playing there next year. I think there's a London series that's going to happen next year, but alas, there's no Statcast data, which I guess makes sense for the Field of Dreams. Anyway, let's get into Thursday's action.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Oh my goodness gracious was exactly what I said when Scott told me who he wanted to talk about, because this is the only player that Scott ever wants to talk about.
Vinny P, baby. He did it again. He donged again, this time off Dylan Cease, as in the guy with a 198 ERA or whatever it is. 186. I undersold him. Yeah. Vinny Pasquantino homered again. And, It was a good at bat for him. Of course, they're all good because he never strikes out and he walks a lot. So in his past seven games now, Vinny Pasquantino is 10 for 25, a 400 batting average, three home runs in those 10 games, three walks to only two strikeouts in 10 games. And it seems like it's happening, right? This is starting to look like the coming out party for a guy who I've maintained, and I think you have too, right? That keep the faith on Vinny Pasquantino. The data looks good. Obviously, the minor league track record, very good. And big things are happening. And my only regret is that I did not include him as a sleeper hitter for the coming out party because the matchups weren't great. He was facing guys like Dylan Cease, right? The matchups could be better for the Royals next week, too. Fortunately, Pasquantino is so under-rostered 60% still that I will have him as a sleeper hitter for this upcoming week, even though the matchups are... they're kind of middle of the road. Usually, usually my sleeper hitters, I want them to have good matchups, but I will make an exception for Vinny Pasquantino because, truthfully, among players who are as available as he is, he's the one who I want to start the most. You know?
Yeah, fair enough.
Gotta be honest with myself.
Gotta
be picking
honest.
These sleeper hitters.
He's got 7 road games next week, and there are 20 different teams with 7 games in week 20, so that will be obviously a very popular consensus for next week's action. I noticed on the road this season, it's a very small sample size, it's only 18 games. Pasquantino has been nearly as good, .217 batting average, .632 OPS, but small sample, I'm not really going to hold it against him. And I think you're right, Scott, we were off by a couple of weeks. I think it was, I don't know, a month ago, we had some kind of great matchups for the Royals, and we thought that was the Vinny Pasquantino coming out party, but it appears this is the week. He does have 3 home runs over his last 4 games, and let's just kind of recalibrate his ranking. So you have him 19th at first base. I have him 20th, and I think one of the big ones I could see people deciding on in shallower leagues would be Pasquantino versus Trey Mancini coming over to the Astros. But I noticed Trey Mancini is not playing every day right out of the gate here. So who do you prefer between those two?
Well, as much as I've pushed the Mancini, the talking point that Mancini is going to be a new creation at Minute Maid Park, I just, you know, Pasquantino's better, I think. And then, you know, you throw on the playing time issue. Yeah, I would definitely take Pasquantino myself.
All right. I have Mancini just ahead of Pasquantino, but it is very close. I could see in the games that Mancini plays in that lineup, in that ballpark, maybe being just better on a per game basis, but that lack of volume definitely is going to hurt. So I think it is very close, but you can go with either one. Scott says to take Vinny Pasquantino. Oh my goodness gracious, for me, Framber Valdez. Obviously, there's not much actionable with this, but I just wanted to point out really how good he has been this season. I think a borderline ace, not in the sense that he's a top 12 starting pitcher or anything like that, but he's been really, really underappreciated, I would say. 19 straight quality starts for Framber Valdez. He was up against the Rangers here on Thursday. 7 shutout innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts, 21 swinging strikes was a season high for him in this game. 10 of those come on the curve, 5 on the sinker, 5 on the cutter. And speaking of that cutter, Scott, he doesn't throw it very much, about 9, 10% of the time. But I feel like having that third pitch has really kind of taken him to the next level. If you look at the results on that pitch this season, .116 batting average against, 34% whiff rate, and that goes along with a sinker where the velocity has been up. His curveball has been tremendous since he's entered the league. So, you know, just having that offering you can throw 8 to 10% of the time, I think really has helped Framber Valdez get to this level. His ERA now down to 2.73. A little bit below a strikeout per inning, but gets a ton of ground balls, 67%. I mean, he is the face of the ground ball pitcher nowadays, and he is a top 22 starting pitcher in both head-to-head points and roto before this start. So I think it's only going to go up after this one. He's really good, Scott, and I just wanted to show Framber Valdez some love.
Yeah, he is really good. And, I mean, I don't know that he's taken that big of a leap from last year. I mean, I guess all the numbers are so close. I mean, last year he had a 3.14 ERA versus it's high twos now, right?
Yeah, 2.73.
2.73 versus 3.14. I mean, that's not a big difference.
The whip is
a tenth of a point lower.
That's massive. Year.
The K per nine's about the same, actually a little lower this year. I just think he's good. And because he's good primarily through ground balls, the whip might be a little higher than the pitchers we rank around him. Of course, the strikeout rate's a little lower than the pitchers we rank around him, but like he should remain an ERA standout. And of course, he gets a lot of volume. A lot of volume. That's a big deal in points leagues, especially.
And with that Astros defense and lineup behind him, you know, you go that deep into starts, you're going to wind up with a good amount of wins. And he is at, I guess 11 wins after today. So that's a pretty good number for Framber Valdez. And I think the environment change this year has actually helped him, because his home run to fly ball ratio went from 21% last year to 13% this year. So that in conjunction with the ground balls definitely has been awesome. A little bit better control has really helped that whip too for Framber Valdez. Want to mention another streak, a pitcher who you've already mentioned, Scott, Vinny Pasquantino homered off of him. Dylan Cease has now allowed one earned run or fewer in 14 straight starts. Kind of cheating the system, because there was a few starts in there where he gave up some unearned runs. 14 straight starts, one earned run or less. You mentioned the ERA is below 2 for Dylan Cease. I think he's worked his way into the AL Cy Young conversation. It's probably just
you have an ERA below 2. It's hard not to be.
Yeah, I would say it's very clearly the top three are Verlander, Shane McClanahan, and Dylan Cease at this point. But just another great start at the Royals. 6 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts. He had 19 swinging strikes. And according to Fangraph's pitch values, so they take results on a pitch, swinging strike rate, a few other different things, and they spit out a number. That's their pitch value. Dylan Cease not only has the best slider in baseball, but it grades out as the best pitch among starting pitchers, which is awesome. 121 batting average against, 23% swinging strike rate for Dylan Cease's slider this season. Again, not really much to add, Scott. I moved him up a little bit recently. I moved him, I think, up to like 13 or 12 in my starting pitcher rankings, and I feel like he deserves that.
Yeah, I actually made the same sort of move yesterday when I did my big weekly rankings overhaul. I moved him up to 11th, which is just ahead of Kevin Gausman, just behind Aaron Nola. And, you know, some people might say, oh, well, that's too low. I mean, look at the strikeout total, look at the ERA. You know, the whip is still, updated after this start. It's probably a little lower. Let me see what the updated whip is on Dylan Cease. It's high given what his ERA is.
It's 1.14.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's, you expect lower from an ace. And, like, he still has major control issues. He entered the day leading the majors in walks. And so I do kind of feel like, unless he makes major strides as a control pitcher, this is Dylan Cease's kind of 100th percentile outcome. Like, things could, he can't get any better than this. And, you know, it's fine if he stays here, that, you know, he'll be a clear cut ace, he'll be a Cy Young contender, that'll be great. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, rest of season he pitches more like the Dylan Cease we saw last year. Still very good, but, you know, ERA, well, that one had an ERA of 3.91, a whip of 1.25. Like, I don't think he's, the K per nine is about the same as last year. The walks per nine is actually a little higher than last year. I don't know that he's definitively put that version behind him.
Okay, so
if that makes sense.
Let's just say heading into next year, you have to buy Dylan Cease at his peak, and he's, I don't know, let's just say forecasting based on our rankings, he's like a third round pick. You're probably fading Dylan Cease at that cost.
Yeah, I would say so. The evaluation in fantasy people have become so sharp throughout the industry that I think it'll be hard to find someone who would rank Dylan Cease as high as that. But I will not be myself.
Let's stick with the pitching and move over to the waiver wire. I got some I got a trio here. Edward Cabrera, now two strong starts off the IL. He was at the Phillies, 5 2/3 shutout. Three hits, two walks, six strikeouts in this one. He had 11 swinging strikes on 91 pitches. He is 63% rostered. Kyle Gibson now has a quality start in five of his last six outings. He goes six innings, three runs, two of those earned, with three strikeouts against the Marlins. Frankly, I think we were expecting more against this Marlins lineup. But last six starts for Kyle Gibson, a 2.91 ERA during that time. And then Zach Plesac with his first quality start since July 4th. He was at the Tigers, 6 1/3, one run, seven strikeouts, 14 swinging strikes on 100 pitches. And his five starts before this one, basically the opposite of Kyle Gibson, 7.04 ERA. Not great for Zach Plesac. He is 60% rostered. Scott, one of these pitchers looks a lot more enticing than the rest.
Yes. So remind me the names again.
Edward Cabrera, Kyle Gibson, Zach Plesac.
Yes, obviously Edward Cabrera is the one you're referring to.
You know, if you just came out and said Kyle Gibson, I would have been like, wait, we are way off right now.
I am sorry that I was researching something as you were talking the names. So Edward Cabrera, this has been very impressive for him. And of course, really talented pitcher, the strikeout rates he's put together in the minors. You know, we had a lot of hopes for him even when he got called up previously. Last year when he got called up, it was like, where are the whiffs? As many strikeouts as he was getting in the minors, but you know, he's been getting them more often this year. In what we've seen from him, really high ground ball rate for Edward Cabrera. But I think the most impressive thing is just that how consistently he doesn't give up hits. So he had three hits allowed in this one. That makes it now in his last five starts. Let me see here. So in his last five starts, and I'm including his minor league rehab assignment, four hits in 21 2/3 innings is what Edward Cabrera has allowed. And that's after, so I'm not even including when he first got called up this year and he gave up just one hit at Colorado. Remember, one hit in six innings, his second start, two hits in six innings. And then he had a seven hit start and went on the IL. But then since coming back, yeah, four hits in 21 2/3 innings. I mean, given his arsenal of pitches, it kind of makes sense that if he's not getting full swings and misses, that he would be getting this sort of weak contact that doesn't generate hits. Again, you like the ground balls. So yeah, I think Edward Cabrera right now, it's still possible he just beats himself with too many walks. But I think as long as that doesn't happen, he's going to be a nice find for you.
Scott, I think the upside is sky high here. Like, I'm just really talking myself into Edward Cabrera right now. Look, for all the reasons you mentioned, a 56% ground ball rate, nearly a 15% swinging strike rate on the season. It's a really small sample size. I get it. But he's got this devastating changeup. He throws upper 90s with a fastball. His curve and his slider, pitches he throws each around 15, 16% of the time, they both get whiffs. It's like, based on this arsenal, It seems like he could be really, really good. Like, I'm kind of getting Luis Castillo vibes here from Edward Cabrera. I think that's like a pretty fair comp, but
I'm kind of thinking Dustin May.
Yeah, but with more whiffs, right?
Oh, well, Dustin May started getting a ton of whiffs before Tommy John surgery last year.
True.
I'm making that comp because it's like, okay, it's clear this guy's stuff is amazing. But when is he ever going to start missing bats with it? And that's what we're seeing from Cabrera here in year two that we weren't seeing in year one. So that's where that comp comes from. And of course, he's not. The Luis Castillo comp could work too with the ground balls and the stuff. But yes, your point is well taken. And that's what I was getting at with the weak contact. When I've read about Edward Cabrera over the years, minor league scouting reports and whatever else, it doesn't seem like there's a clear consensus over what his best pitch is, you know? And sometimes that means, well, he doesn't have a very good pitch, but I think in Cabrera's case, it means he has several.
Yeah. Maybe he just has four awesome pitches.
Yeah.
That would be obviously great for his value moving forward. I'm ready to call him a must-add, Scott. Like, you have to get this guy on your team. That is Edward Cabrera. I could see, like, if Nathan Eovaldi is the worst pitcher on your team, I could see making that swap. Joe Ryan, the way he's pitched, I could see making that swap. Sean Manaea, like, as bad as he's pitched.
Okay, Sean Manaea, I'm with you.
Manaea,
two good matchups this upcoming week.
I was going to say, Manaea does have really good matchups next week, though.
But yeah, I'm not, you know, Nathan Eovaldi is a tricky case because he's come back throwing 2 miles per hour slower. And so if that's going to persist the rest of the season, then it's going to be hard to use Eovaldi. But I'm not quite ready to throw him out yet, as good as he was before the injury. And yeah, I think I'm just higher on Joe Ryan than you are. I believe he has two good matchups coming up this week, too. Yeah, Kansas City and Texas. So he is close to being a must start for this two start week, I would say.
That is pretty good. I like those matchups as well. Just in terms of the ranking, I have this group here. It's a pretty fun group of pitchers. It's right around my top 50. Tristan McKenzie, Reed Detmers, Jesus Luzardo. They're all in a row. I'm ready to move Edward Cabrera to the back end of that group. So, you know, just kind of bordering on a top 50 starting pitcher for me in Cabrera.
So, yeah, and I have Eovaldi 53rd. I think Eovaldi is right about the line. So let's see who else is in that range. So maybe like Andrew Heaney versus Edward Cabrera. I could lean Cabrera right now because Heaney's starts aren't getting any longer.
Yeah.
Well, I have Nick Lodolo right in that range too. And after he had another stinker on the Field of Dreams, who knows how many swinging strikes he got because no Statcast. I definitely think you could dump him for Edward Cabrera at this point.
Good. That was my next question. I agree wholeheartedly. Drop Nick Lodolo for Edward Cabrera. A few other waiver wire pitchers here. Zach Greinke with his first quality start since June 29th. He went 6 1/3 shutout, allowed 9 hits, 0 walks, 5 strikeouts, did have 12 swinging strikes. But he also allowed 12 hard hit balls in this game. He is 40% rostered, and he's got 2 starts next week at the Twins and at Tampa Bay. So kind of a mixed bag in terms of matchups. Herman Marquez, I know we don't want to trust Rockies pitchers. I get it. But he now has a quality start in 5 of his last 6 outings. He goes 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 strikeouts against the Cardinals in Coors Field. So it's pretty impressive. And his velocity, this is now 2 starts in a row. Fastball velocity way up. 1.8 miles per hour compared to his season's average in this start. His slider was up 3 miles per hour in this start. So Herman Marquez is reaching back, and he's throwing harder. And his last 6 starts, he has a 3.15 ERA. He's only 36% rostered. And then Drew Smyly, now 2 strong starts in a row. Of course, at the Field of Dreams, 5 shutout with 9 strikeouts. That was a season high. Over his last 5 starts, he's got a 2.42 ERA. Scott, I don't think any of these players are must-adds, but I will admit that Herman Marquez and Drew Smyly are kind of interesting to me.
Sure. I mean, Herman Marquez has been a fantasy asset in the past. Drew Smyly has a great swinging strike rate, if nothing else. I just think there's too much downside for both. Like, I think I'm at a point, because I've dipped my toe in the Herman Marquez pond before, and didn't like the feel of it. Just too, you never know when to start him, you never know when to sit him. Like, at one point his career looked pretty clear. Oh, I sit him at home, start him on the road. But that's become less so the past couple years. So I think I'm at a point, unless he ever gets out of Colorado, I don't want any part of Herman Marquez. Like, I'm gonna have to rank him. You know, if he continues down this path, I'm going to have to rank him in a spot where he would get drafted next year, but it's not going to be me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to come up off waivers barring an emergency, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I want to do this with Drew Smyly again either, especially since I don't know how many swinging strikes he had.
I will point out with Drew Smyly, he's at the Nationals next week. So if you are in a deeper league and you're just looking for a streamer, I do think Drew Smyly is fine.
I would prefer his teammate, Justin Steele, actually, though.
I agree.
Going, and he might actually be more available than Smyly. You double check that.
No, Smyly is only 9%. I think Steele is like 30.
30,
like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Okay.
But
Steele's better.
Chris and I spoke about Steele yesterday, and he's got fairly good matchups next week at the Nationals and against the Brewers. The Brewers do struggle against lefties. This is Justin Steele that we're talking about. So, high spin fastball. He's getting a lot of strikeouts. I do like Justin Steele quite a bit myself. Let's move over to some waiver wire hitters, Scott. And I asked Chris about him yesterday. I want to ask you, have you changed your tune on Stephen Kwan? So he went 1-for-3 with 2 walks and his 3rd home run here on Thursday. I get it, in a categories league, he's kind of empty batting average. He's running a little bit more. He scores runs. So maybe he's like a, 2.5 category player, something like that. He's 74% rostered. I think in points leagues, we should be more excited about Stephen Kwan, because over the last 28 days, this is also just a testament to how bad outfield is. Stephen Kwan is the 3rd highest scoring outfielder in points leagues during that time.
That's interesting.
Behind only Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts.
28 days, you said?
Yeah.
So what I wrote down for Stephen Kwan here is past 31 games, he's hit .354. 2 home runs, 5 stolen bases during that stretch. I don't think he can sustain a .354 batting average. I was going to look up what is just year-long rank as an outfielder in head-to-head points leagues is. I mean, clearly he's going to be something of a format specialist because he never strikes out. He walks at a pretty good clip, but the home runs are going to be so low that it's hard to invest a roster spot in him in a categories league.
I have it for you, Scott. Outfielder 30 in points leagues this season.
Right. So you take the good with the bad, and he comes out being, if it's a 10-team, 3 outfielder league, pretty shallow, he still comes out as a viable starter in that.
Yep.
And I think that's fine. I would trust that. Oh, he's the 30th best outfielder in points leagues over the stat you gave for the last 28 days. Like he doesn't have that kind of upside, even if he's been really
hot.
But yeah. I do have Stephen Kwan as a sleeper hitter for this upcoming week. I like the Guardians matchups, 4 games against the Tigers. That's really the best part of their schedule. They then face the White Sox and a couple of tough pitchers, but only one right-hander or one left-hander on the schedule, which benefits Kwan as well. So I have Kwan as hot as he is as a sleeper hitter for next week.
All right, let's move over to Jorge Mateo, who just keeps hitting and just keeps running. He went 1-for-4 with his 27 steals, 2nd in Major League Baseball. He's 62% rostered. He's got 7 games next week. Obviously, that's a popular theme. Scott, he is the most added outfielder on CBS right now. Jorge Mateo is. Would you rather have him compared to, two others that rank very highly on that list, Alec Thomas and Randall Grichuk?
Oh, yeah, I think I would. Well, I definitely would in categories leagues where he can impact the stolen base category. But even in points leagues where I don't think Mateo's as valuable, Grichuk loses a lot of his luster in points leagues as well. And I just don't think Alec Thomas has done enough to warrant a starting spot. Even in my 15-team 5 outfielder league, I've finally gotten to a point where I can sit him by some outfielders coming off the IL for me, which I'm happy about, because it's just the production hasn't been there really in anything for Alec Thomas. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't have a future in the majors. Obviously, it's his rookie season, but I don't even in the underlying data, I don't see enough to feel like I need to hold on to him.
All right, let's see. You need an outfielder in 5 outfielder categories league. Would you rather have Oscar Gonzalez, who went 2-for-5 with a double and an RBI? He's got 7 home games next week, as we mentioned. Or Leody Taveras, who has been slumping recently, but now back-to-back multi-hit games. I believe he had a double and a triple on Wednesday night, and then he picked up 2 singles here on Thursday. Who do you prefer between those two? Oscar G, Leody Taveras.
For next week, just rest of season in general.
Both.
well, I do have. So I definitely prefer. I shouldn't say definitely, but Oscar Gonzalez made the cut for my 10 sleeper hitters for next week, and Leody Taveras didn't. I considered Taveras. The Rangers have good matchups, as do the Guardians. But I just have a little more trust in Gonzalez right now. If you're talking rest of season, it kind of depends what you need. Gonzalez isn't going to give you any speed. Leody Taveras, that's the main thing he's going to give you. Who's going to hit for the higher batting average? I would put my money on Gonzalez.
Agreed.
But there may be, like, Leody Taveras' season mark is good, and he's hitting the ball harder than we've previously seen in the majors. He's striking out less. He may be able to keep it going. I'm more skeptical of it in Taveras' case.
Last one I want to ask you about is Jose Iglesias, who I asked Chris about yesterday, and he was skeptical, but I know you wanted to talk about him the other night as well. Three straight multi-hit games. He's now batting .320 overall, and I think over the last 30 games, he's like close to .400 batting average, Jose Iglesias. He's 31% rostered, 6 games next week, including 3 at home in Coors Field. Is he behind both Vaughn Grissom and Paul DeJong for you? And yeah, can we just get your thoughts on Vaughn Grissom? Because obviously you weren't here yesterday.
Yes. I mean, I'm always going to shoot for upside. We are getting to a stage of the season where it's less important, where you just need to get what you can get and not get upset. And I mean, Iglesias has been hitting for average, and not, it isn't necessarily a Coors Field thing, because I believe his road stats are even better.
Yeah, much better. It's weird.
It's kind of boring production, but you know, he's usable. He's proven himself usable for the first time in a long time. That's Jose Iglesias. But yes, DeJong and certainly Vaughn Grissom have more upside. It's interesting in terms of how likely they are to keep their job. It probably goes Iglesias, DeJong, Grissom. But in terms of how much upside they have, definitely goes Grissom, DeJong, Iglesias. Just the other way around. So, and in Grissom's case, like, it'll take a lot for him to keep his job, because Ozzie Albies is maybe 2 weeks from returning, and that's the spot in the lineup Grissom is filling right now. Could they theoretically move him to the outfield if he's going well? We haven't seen him play it in the minors. I mean, he's a natural shortstop, and I kind of feel like natural shortstops could play anywhere. But would they just throw a rookie out there with no minor league experience? I'm kind of skeptical of that. So could they stick him at third and move Austin Riley to the outfield where he's played before? I guess, but I don't know if they want to mess with Austin Riley now that he's established himself as an MVP candidate. So I don't know how this is going to play out for Grissom, but I'm high on the skills.
Yeah,
I am. He's one of those prospects who you look at what he's been doing in the minors the past couple years. You read the scouting reports, you know, about how athletic he is, about how, okay, maybe the home run numbers aren't quite where you want them to be, but there's a lot of untapped power there. He produces high end exit velocities, just kind of needs to work on the launch angle, kind of needs to work. Well, I mean, if you see him, he's 6'3". Like, he's got a good frame for power and maybe just needs to fill out a little more. Only 21 years old.
Yeah.
So he looks like, and then, you know, on top of it, the most impressive skill for Vaughn Grissom is just that he doesn't strike out much at all. Yeah, very impressive for a guy that young and that athletic. And I think the upside is very high, but he hasn't been ranked. Like, you look at, I'm not sure he made a high profile top 100 list coming into the season in spite of that. So you look at the numbers, you look at the scouting reports, and you're like, why is the like scouting community not getting behind this guy more? It's like, they all like him. You read the scouting, oh, it's clear they're high on him, but why do they not rank him higher? And that was something I had a hard time understanding. I think, you know, I think the one knock on him that you consistently saw is, oh, he probably won't be able to stay at shortstop long term. And I feel like sometimes prospects get dinged too much for that. And I think sometimes it's just an excuse, because, you know, 100 is kind of an arbitrary number. You got to leave some guys out. So you're just looking for an excuse to leave some guys out. And sometimes it's because we don't think he can continue to play the position he's currently at. but who cares? He'll be able to play a bunch of different positions if he can't stay a shortstop. So, and of course, I think there's a chance that he just replaces Dansby Swanson as the Braves shortstop next year. Because Swanson is an impending free agent and has the same representation Freddie Freeman did. So I don't even know how those two parties negotiate with each other at this point.
Hawkies.
Yeah. Grissom, I kind of gave you the long-term outlook for him this year after that debut he had with a sock in his shoe.
Yes.
Cleared the Green Monster entirely.
And the confidence, Scott. I mean, the bat flip was everything. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was. And we talk about all the time about how bad third base is, how bad outfield is. Like, second base is kind of the pits as well. Like, I was re-ranking it yesterday.
Not great.
It's basically Trey Turner, who's eligible at shortstop, too. It's Jose Altuve. It's Marcus Semien, who's eligible at shortstop, too. It's DJ LeMahieu, who's eligible at third base.
Yeah.
And then there's not much to get excited about beyond that. And so, like, Grissom's going to, he's a few games away from gaining second base eligibility, but he'll pick it up before Albies returns. And if he performs so well that the Braves find a way to keep him in the lineup, I could see him emerging as a must start player the same way Michael Harris has, even making that same dramatic jump from double A after just a few games there. So I'm not saying you have to pick up Grissom in every league. But I'm saying leagues where stolen bases are important, leagues where you have a need in the middle infield, you probably should for the upside and just see where it goes. Like, I've talked up Michael Massey a lot. I think I'd take Grissom over Michael Massey if the choice came down to that.
Last point I want to make on Grissom, and I think it's a really good one that you mentioned. I was listening to the Welch's podcast recently, Prospect One. If anybody wants to hear more about prospects or just dynasty-related content, I highly recommend listening to it. And he said the same thing about Noelvi Marte, that Noelvi Marte, who was part of the Luis Castillo trade, he plays shortstop, he's now with the Cincinnati Reds. He said that he's kind of been unfairly dinged in the prospect community recently because they don't think that he's going to stay at shortstop. So it's just funny that you bring that up about Vaughn Grissom. And I think that kind of factors into overall prospect analysis, but from like a fantasy perspective, sure, like, who cares? Vaughn Grissom, I think he has a great profile, and he's going to be very, very fun for fantasy, which is really all that matters for us, but...
No, why I bring it up beyond just it's an interesting development I've noticed with prospect rankings is that prospect rankings fuel so much. I mean, at the trade deadline, it's funny to see the way these beat writers react to what kind of prospects were moved in a deal. Oh, it was this team's first, third, and fifth prospect. And it's like, you're looking at preseason rankings, dude. There's been a lot of ranking updates since then. First of all, so just by virtue of Grissom not showing up on the preseason top 100 list, it's kind of like, is this guy that much of a prospect? And yes, I say that he is. And I do think he's gained some value since the season started, but he still didn't show up as high on those midseason lists as I feel like he should have.
All right. Before we hit the break, Fantasy Baseball Today is here to help you dominate your league all season long. But now you can represent your favorite podcast with official Fantasy Baseball Today gear only found on the CBS Sports Store. Discover t-shirts, mugs, sweatpants, laser engraved pint glasses, hats like the one I'm wearing right now, water bottles, and more to remind your buddies how you got the inside scoop to crush the competition. Right now, Fantasy Baseball Today listeners will get 20% off orders when they use this podcast exclusive code FANTASYBASEBALL20 during checkout. That's FANTASYBASEBALL20, and it's only available for our listeners. I am not going to read the link because it's really long, but you can find it in the podcast and the YouTube description. We just told you all about Vaughn Grissom. If you want to hear more about prospects, you can listen to our Saturday episode of Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. It's our 5-minute podcast. Download and follow wherever you listen to this podcast. Let's take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The news and notes. This one really came out of nowhere. Max Fried was placed on the 7-day concussion IL, retroactive to August 8th. Apparently, he banged his head against the ground while attempting to make a throw last Saturday night. So we'll kind of play it by ear, and anything we hear about Max Fried, we'll let you know. Kyle Schwarber exited Thursday's game due to a mild right calf strain. He's considered day-to-day for now. With Julio Rodriguez being activated, Jared Kelnick, no surprise, was optioned back to the minors. And in 9 games, Jared Kelnick was 2-for-24, one of those hits being a home run off of Gerrit Cole, with a 37.5% strikeout rate. Now, Scott, we talk about this a lot with prospects, that their progression, it is not linear most of the time. You could go up, you could go down, you could stay down for a long time, you can get better in the future. It's really hard to predict. But when it comes to Jared Kelnick, formerly one of the top prospects in the game, what's your dynasty outlook? Would you be trying to buy low if anyone was sour on him right now?
Yes, I would. But it'd have to be pretty low at this point. I'm not sure at what point with him and Joe Adell we're supposed to say, okay, you just strike out too much to be anything close to what we thought you were going to be. And I really feel uncomfortable making that assessment, because I feel like we are entering a period where it takes prospects longer to develop. I don't know, it's an easy off the top of the head example, but Kyle Wright, you know, he needs until age, how old is he? 26?
Sounds right.
Big prospect, former 5th overall pick. We see him come up a couple times and he just looks terrible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this year he emerges as a number two type starter in the majors. And that used to be the norm for prospects. You know, you couldn't really judge them in their rookie season. It was rare the prospect who came up and performed right away, but that changed for almost a decade long period where we could make we could make almost a snap judgment on these guys and be right. And I don't think we're there anymore. So that makes evaluating these guys for dynasty very tricky. And I know I'm long-winded with all my answers here. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
You look impatient, so I'll stop talking. Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's, you know, there's some stuff that we're not going to get to, but it's fine. Like, as long as we get to like the two-star pitchers and previewing next week, that's really all that matters. But I think this stuff is interesting right now. I mean, especially as the season winds down, we'll talk more about like prospects and dynasty and other things to, you know, be inclusive and keep those who are kind of out of their league, you know, they're out of the running for their league, keep them interested in the content. So I think it makes sense. Jack Flaherty made his first rehab start at AAA on Thursday. He allowed 4 runs over 1+ inning of work. And it's not what you want to see, obviously. It turns out that Max Muncy left Wednesday night's game with a right hand contusion. X-rays came back negative. Kind of stinks because he was finally heating up. Jonathan India left Thursday's Field of Dreams game after being hit by a pitch on his foot. Imaging showed no fracture. He's day to day. It's been kind of a rough stretch of luck for Jonathan India. Kind of feel bad for the guy. Eduardo Rodriguez was sharp in his latest AAA rehab outing, striking out 6 across 5 scoreless innings of work. And he's 27% rostered. Scott, are you looking to stash Eduardo Rodriguez anywhere?
It's not a high priority, but you know, he's a guy most people liked coming into the season. I think I was a little cooler on him the most. And of course he struggled, but we've seen him have plenty of success in the past. If you have a free IL spot, throw him in there. Why not?
I've seen him floating around in some deeper leagues, like 15 team roto. So obviously if he's available there, I would say for sure, go out and add him. Garrett Cooper left Thursday's game due to calf tightness, and Elias Diaz is likely headed to the IL with ligament damage in his hand. So expect Brian Servin and Dom Nunez to handle catching duties in his absence. The Week 20 preview. Finally, we have made it. The schedule for next week. We have 9 teams with 6 games, 20 teams with 7 games, and one lucky team has 8 games next week, the New York Mets. Here are your fringy 2 start pitchers. Scott, what do you think? Start or sit, Joe Ryan. He's been up or down, up and down. He has a really good matchup next week, Royals and Rangers.
Yeah, as I said before with those matchups, he's pretty close to must start. I resisted putting him in the must start tier of the 2 start pitcher rankings, but he's at the very top of the next tier.
Charlie Morton. Now, there's probably something I missed, Scott, because ESPN still has him starting on Sunday. So is he now, how does he wind up being a 2 start pitcher for next week?
You know, it may have changed with Max Fried going on the IL. I put this list together before that news came out. Let me double check what another source has, but he may not be a 2-star pitcher anymore.
Okay, so it looks like they have Jake Odorizzi going on Friday now. Ian Anderson on Saturday, though they do have...
That's a doubleheader.
They have a doubleheader. They have Ian Anderson and Spencer Strider. And then It looks like Morton for Sunday against the Marlins.
That is what... Roster Resource has as well. So yeah, I may need to move Charlie Morton from this list, and that would probably make Kyle Wright's already a 2-star pitcher. They're gonna have to bring up another guy. Maybe, I don't know. We don't really know how they're gonna fill Fried's spot, if Anderson stays in the rotation or what.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, look, if Charlie Morton starts Sunday against the Marlins, I will take that, because he was slated to face the Mets and the Astros next week, which obviously not as enticing. Freddy Peralta, not really going very deep into his starts. He's got the Dodgers next week and at the Cubs. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd start him. I wish he wasn't facing the Dodgers for one of those 2 starts, but I'd start him.
Jose Urquidy has mostly pitched very well over the past couple of months. He's at the White Sox and at the Braves next week.
Yeah, we got these bipolar matchups again. Very annoying. But Urquidy's been bankable enough that I'd lean yes on him too.
Taijuan Walker at the Braves, at the Phillies.
That is one. I wouldn't be so automatic for me. I have him in the points league only section. It kind of depends what you need in a categories league if you use him there. If you need the wins or strikeouts more, maybe yes. But those are tough matchups, obviously. And another thing worth noting here, as opposed to last week, when we had, I believe, 25, 26 2-start pitchers, we've got 44, 45 this week. So, like, there's a ton of 2-start options. So keep that in mind.
Noah Syndergaard is at the Reds, and he has a revenge game against the Mets.
Probably just points leagues for him, too, but kind of depends what you need in categories.
Last, but certainly not least, Sean Manaea at the Marlins and at home against the Nationals.
Yeah, it's really tempting with those 2 matchups. I think it's a must in points leagues where you can afford a hit. Like if a pitcher gives up a lot of base runners, a lot of earned runs, it doesn't hurt as much as in a categories league, and you're still going to get the volume either way. But it would be scary to do in a categories league for sure.
I have him on, I think, 2 15-team roto leagues, and I plan to start him in both. But if you play in 12s or anything shallower, you probably don't want to mess around with Sean Manaea. 2-star pitchers to add and stream for next week. I see quite a few names here, Scotty. Who do you like?
Yes. So my favorite is Jose Quintana. Only 61% rostered, back-to-back 6-inning starts with the Cardinals. Of course, he's going to get more support with them than he got with the Pirates earlier this season. And because he's been stuck on the Pirates, he's been kind of a low-key beneficiary of this new environment that we've seen others with his sort of profile benefit from. you know, we're seeing a return of valuable pitchers who don't necessarily strike out a batter per inning, and Quintana fits the bill there. His matchups are at home against Colorado and on the road against Diamondbacks, so really good.
All right. Anyone else you want to mention from this group?
Oh, yeah, I do. So Marcus Stroman, one of his two starts is against Washington. That's obviously favorable. I think he's one of the more undervalued pitchers right now. Josiah Gray, you know, he's kind of got a good bat matchup and a bad matchup. The good one against the Cubs, the bad against the Padres. We saw him bounce back nicely in his last start after having a lot of trouble with home runs previously. Still kind of risky, but a lot of strikeout potential there for Josiah Gray. Jeffrey Springs, again with the bipolar matchups, Yankees and Royals. He's not going deep into games, but he's still pitching well. Justin Steele, who we talked about earlier, Washington and Milwaukee are his matchups. He's been getting a lot of strikeouts lately, a lot of base runners too. But certainly in points leagues where you can use him in an RP slot, I think Justin Steele's worth a look. Johnny Cueto gets the Astros and Guardians. But he's been reliable for reasons I can't understand. Nick Pivetta gets the Pirates and Orioles. He hasn't been reliable, but those are two really good matchups. James Caprillion, Rangers and Mariners. Don't trust the profile, but he's been good more often than not recently, and those matchups are pretty good. Alex Cobb, Diamondbacks, but then he's at Colorado. So I'll still call him a sleeper, but definitely on the riskier side. And then Mitch Keller gets the Red Sox and Reds. Not eager to use him, but if you're dying to have more volume, that's not bad. Mm.
Sounds like he almost fits the bill for fortune favors the brave.
No, I don't think. I think you need to be braver than that.
All right. Well, I do see one other name here highlighted lower down the list. JP Sears at the Rangers and against the Mariners. Maybe a deep league play?
Yeah, I debated whether to put him in that third tier, which is points league only, or final tier, which is no thanks. I just don't think he's proven enough for most people to bother with JP Sears, and all the starts he's made have been short. But yeah, those matchups are solid and the numbers have been solid, even though the outings have been abbreviated.
All right. Well, now that brings us to Fortune Favors the Brave. And I cannot believe that I sat here a week ago and told everybody, don't start Yusei Kikuchi. And then what did I do? I picked him up in a very deep league, one that's very important to me. And I started Yusei Kikuchi. And guess what? Now he doesn't even have a second start this weekend. Instead,
he may. So it's not clear yet if the Blue Jays are going to skip Mitch White this time through or not. If they do, then Kikuchi will still get a second start this week. If they don't, then he's a two-star pitcher next week.
Well, my advice would be to just skip Yusei Kikuchi forever. But with that being said, there is nothing braver than starting Yusei Kikuchi. So if he doesn't start this weekend,
you don't even know how many starts he's going to make. Huh?
Yeah, just, you know what? Just don't. Just exactly what the segment is meant to do. Just don't start Yusei Kikuchi. But I think Zach Greinke's kind of in that conversation as well. So, Scott, do you have...
So those are your fortune favors the Brave picks? Is that what you're saying?
Sure, yes.
I'll go Aaron Civale, who looked pretty good in his return from the IL and gets the Tigers and White Sox this upcoming week. Couldn't see me doing it myself, but I could see it potentially going pretty well.
All right, let's wrap up the pitching conversation here, Scott, with some single-star streamers. I only see two.
Yeah, with all the two-star pitchers, not much room for these guys, and they're both more than 70% rostered. Reed Detmers at the Tigers. I mean, I'm pretty much to the point where I'm starting Reed Detmers no matter who he faces, but definitely against the Tigers. And George Kirby at the Angels. I don't know if you and Chris talked about this yesterday. I just noticed it today. Chris Flexen was removed from the rotation.
Yeah, we mentioned it.
Yeah, so George Kirby's staying in, and he faces the Angels, who have been terrible.
Yeah, was not expecting that Chris Flexen moved to the bullpen, but
yeah,
definitely helps George Kirby. On the hitter side of things, the best hitter matchups, we have the Giants, Red Sox, Rangers, the A's, and the Orioles. And then the worst hitter matchups, Dodgers, White Sox, Astros, Marlins, and Braves. With that being said, Scott, sleeper hitters for next week. It gives you another opportunity to talk about Vinny P.
It does. First, I do want to mention the Mets are the one and only team with 8 games, but really tough pitchers in those 8 games. So that's why they're not listed among the teams with the best matchups. Yeah, I have Vinny Pasquantino at the top of my sleepers hitters list. The matchups are nothing special, but I don't care. He's great. He's showing it. He's the hitter I want to start above all others rostered in less than 80% of CBS sports leagues. All right. I also have Tommy Pham, who's been on a home run binge batting leadoff for the Red Sox. As you mentioned, Frank, they have the second best matchups at Pittsburgh for 3, at Baltimore for 3. I also have a couple Cardinals on this list, a couple of highly available Cardinals. Paul DeJong, who's been on his own home run binge, and Lars Nootbaar, who I could have made the oh my goodness gracious player today. He has really picked it up at the plate. And even though he's a left-handed hitter, he's been playing every day. He even batted in the leadoff spot for the Cardinals here on Thursday, hit a double and walked twice. Dylan Carlson was out of the lineup, so I don't think it's going to be a consistent thing, Nootbaar batting leadoff. But over his past 22 games, .344 batting average, 3 homers, 4 doubles, 2 triples, stolen base, same number of walks as strikeouts. Oh, and I should say that was 22 games entering Thursday when he had a couple more walks and another double. So, yeah, he's been on fire. Cardinals aren't among the teams with the best 5 matchups, but they do have good matchups. Colorado for 3, Arizona for 3. Okay, moving on. The Rangers, who you mentioned have the 3rd best matchups, got to like Nate Lowe this week. The Orioles, we talked about Jorge Mateo. They have the 5th best matchups this week. You got to keep him in, especially if you need stolen bases. And I have for the Guardians both Oscar Gonzalez and Stephen Kwan here as sleeper hitters for this upcoming week. I also don't mind Seth Brown. 5 of the 7 pitchers on tap for the Athletics are righties. And the matchups are favorable. So yeah, Seth Brown, if you're looking for power, he rounds out the list here of sleeper hitters for next week.
All right. We've got about 5 minutes left, so let's just kind of do some rapid fire the rest of Thursday's action. We'll get you some streamers for the weekend. Did you know, Scott, hitter edition? Just some fun facts. Jose Ramirez went 0-for-5, and over his last 41 games, he is batting .244 with 5 home runs and just an 8% home run to fly ball ratio. Javier Baez went 2-for-5 and hit his 11th home run of the season. He has not enjoyed playing in Detroit. In home games this year, he is batting .183 with a .498 OPS. Marcus Semien went 1-for-3 with 2 walks and his 17th home run since the start of June. That is 63 games. He is batting .269 with 16 homers, 13 steals, and Marcus Semien is now the 2nd highest scoring second baseman in head-to-head points and the 3rd best in Roto. He's been really good, and he's made me look very dumb for choosing him as a bus pick. Brendan Rodgers went 1-for-4 with his 11th home run, and over his last 43 games, he is hitting .347 with 5 homers, 24 runs, 25 RBI, just a 13% strikeout rate, and a 90.8 mile per hour average exit velocity. Not much power, but the batting average and counting stats have been very good for Brendan Rodgers. Scott, anything you'd like to add for Ramirez, Baez, Semien, and Rodgers?
Yeah, so I was fearful of how Javier Baez would perform in the venue that neutralized Nick Castellanos, it turns out. And look, I didn't expect it to go this poorly. It's kind of funny, like Javier Baez is like a perennial bust pick for me, and it finally happened. And I don't know whether I can claim credit for it, because I just, you know, you put him on the list every year, eventually it's going to happen, right? Brendan Rodgers, so one of the Rockies beat writers, Danielle Allentuck, I thought made a good point. She said, she pointed out that he hit .078 in April, did Brendan Rodgers, just as bad a start as you'll ever see. And he might end up finishing the year batting .300. I think his batting average is close to .290 now. And he has hit over .300 with about an .850 OPS since April. I would like to see more power from Brendan Rodgers still, especially since he's not a big walk guy. But he's certainly shown that he's a decent enough middle infielder in fantasy. And yeah, it's been kind of a frustrating run here for Jose Ramirez. I hope he turns it around soon, because at last look, he was shaping up to be my number one player for next year, like overall. So we'll see if that ends up coming true or not.
Mm-hmm. All right, please get back on track. We need you, Jose Ramirez. Do we want to do grade the season? Nah, I think we'll pass. But I will just mention that Alex Bregman hit his 14th home run. He's been much better in August. Andrew Vaughn hit his 12th home run and just quietly having a very good season amongst, look, the White Sox are kind of a mess right now. So a shining light, both Dylan Cease and Andrew Vaughn for that team. Brian Hayes stole his 13th base, which is interesting just for the third base position. But outside of that, he's not been great this season.
I'll grade these seasons real quick. Alex Bregman gets a D.
Ooh.
Andrew Vaughn gets a B. And Ke'Bryan Hayes gets an F.
Ooh. All right. I'm happy that you were hard on Alex Bregman. So maybe...
Well, I just earlier this week, I released a Dynasty Stock Watch. It's only the second one I've done all year. Been busy doing other things, I guess. Among the five players who have lost the most value in Dynasty Leagues, I had Alex Bregman on there. I think his time as a stud is over.
Yeah.
He's still plenty useful, but the power, I think we can safely say the power just doesn't play the same for him with this new ball.
Yeah. Probably more of like a middling batting average, 20 home run hitter. But
I mean, I'd like to see him lower the launch angle, sell out for power less, because with as much contact as he makes, maybe he could become a plus source of batting average. But yeah. I don't know that that'll happen.
I think he'll still be valuable for points leagues regardless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the walk rate's so good.
Yeah, more walks and strikeouts again this year for Alex Bregman. But in category leagues, he really does not do much. The call to the bullpen for the Marlins, Tanner Scott allowed three base runners but did pick up his 16th save. For the Guardians, with Emmanuel Class A unavailable, Taylor Stephan started the ninth with a two-run lead. He ran into some trouble. He was relieved by Eniel De Los Santos. They tag-teamed the blown save for this one. And then Brian Shaw picked up his first save in extra innings. How did he do that? Well, the Tigers, Gregory Soto, he pitched in the top of the 10th, and he allowed the zombie runner to score. He took his seventh loss of the season. For the Royals, Scott Barlow gave up a solo homer but picked up his 18th save. For the Rockies, Daniel Bard gave up a run but picked up his 24th save. And then two that are widely available. You might need to make this decision. For the Red Sox, John Schreiber pitched the final two innings for his fourth save. His numbers are really good this year. 1.80 ERA, over a strikeout per inning, great control, 56% ground ball rate, 13.6% swinging strike rate. That is John Schreiber, and of course Tanner Houck is on the IL. And then Rowan Wick closes out the Field of Dreams game. Seventh save for him, 23% rostered. Scott, who are you taking, Wick or Schreiber?
I guess I'm going to take Wick, even though I've been a little skeptical of him moving into this role. I would feel better about Schreiber if it was only a one-inning save instead of two, ironically. Like, if they're going to let him have two-inning saves, then he's not going to be available as often for saves, and I'm going to guess Garrett Whitlock interferes with those chances. And so the one that frustrated me, you don't have it in here, Hunter Strickland was taken out of the closer role.
Correct.
And so I wrote in waiver wire yesterday, okay, Alexis Diaz, this is the time. Well, Alexis Diaz worked the eighth, Strickland the ninth on Thursday. It was with a two-run deficit, so, you know, that doesn't necessarily reveal that Strickland's still the closer, but normally if you're planning for Alex Diaz to be, you wouldn't let him work the eighth at the two-run deficit normally.
Yeah, find someone who loves you the way David Bell loves Hunter Strickland, apparently, because why can't we just go with Alexis Diaz and see what he could do? To stream or not to stream, let's start with Friday. Jake Odorizzi at the Marlins, Austin Voth at the Rays, George Kirby at the Rangers, and Ranger Suarez at the Mets.
I will pick George Kirby easily. And my second choice would be Jake Odorizzi, just because he's going against the Marlins, but it's a distant second.
Agreed. Saturday, we've got Mitch White versus the Guardians, maybe. Spencer Watkins at the Rays, Adrian Sampson at the Reds, Graham Ashcraft versus the Cubs, Matt Manning at the White Sox, Marco Gonzalez at the Rangers, and Dane Dunning versus the Mariners.
I'm gonna pick Graham Ashcraft here. Sorry.
You don't have to apologize to me. Apologize to the people that start him. On Sunday, we have Braxton Garrett versus the Braves, Jordan Lyles at the Rays, Drew Rasmussen versus the Orioles, Keegan Thompson at the Reds, Aaron Ashby at the Cardinals, and Chris Archer at the Angels.
I don't really like any of these, if I'm being honest.
I like when we get to this part of the podcast where Scott's just annoyed.
Braxton Garrett is probably the guy I'd choose here, as dangerous as it is going against the Braves.
Don't do it.
I'll just shoot for the stars with him, I guess. And my second choice would probably be Aaron Ashby. Just, again, hoping for a best case scenario. But obviously the more likely scenario is that he hurts you. So I would prefer not to start him.
Yeah. Let's see. I know the Orioles are winning games, but are they hitting the ball? That's the question. They are 8th in WOBA over the last 14 days. All right. Well, we're not going to start Drew Rasmussen. I don't know. Keegan Thompson's fine. I don't really like any of these on Sunday, so stay away. We're going to wrap there. For Scott, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again on Monday. Bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.